We're going to continue to move down the agenda. Number 25, John Lott, our fisheries section chief, is with us in person. Spring spawning and stocking summary. Welcome, Mr. Lott.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the commission, Assistant Secretary Robley. This morning, I get the pleasure to share with you some updates on spawning and stocking so far this spring. Really some of the major field work that we do in the department in terms of fisheries resources. I believe you had an update at your meeting in May, but that was about the time we were wrapping up the walleye spawning. And right afterwards, our staff switched over and began doing a lot of trap and transfer activities. And I'll have some updates on that this morning for you as well.
Sure. What we got?
Again, I've got a summary this morning for you on spawning and stocking, and then also I'll bring into that how to use some of that information to help you plan your trip if you're an angler in the state by using our website. So just a brief overview of the presentation. I'll go over walleye spawning, hatchery rearing and stocking as a little bit of background for how we get these fish out to the lakes, a trap and transfer and how that contributes to overall stocking. And then again, some information that you can glean off the website for helping you plan your trip, where to go, what's been stocked, information of that nature. Walleye spawning is something we do every year in South Dakota, typically in the month of April. Some winters we go in are longer, we go into early May. And in eastern South Dakota and on Lake Oahe, we set nets in lakes that have a good walleye population. So the nets are set perpendicular to shore. And as the fish are swimming along the shoreline, they encounter the lead on the net and they swim out deeper into the trap on the net. You can see here in the larger photo there that they're removing the walleyes out of the net. They remove the other fish as well, but the walleyes they need for spawning, they will keep and put those in that tank and take back to use in the spawning operation. A spawning operation, we start with a dry pan and we put in the eggs of the female. We add in male milt as well. And then after that, we add some water into the mix. It's the water that actually activates the whole spawning process. And there's about a 2 minute window for eggs to be fertilized. So after a couple minutes, then we add into the mix a slurry of a very fine clay to help remove the stickiness on the eggs. We put those eggs in the hatchery jars. They have to be able to roll with the flow of water. And if they aren't, that stickiness is not removed, we just get a big clump of eggs and they'll receive the oxygen that they need. After that process, the eggs are rinsed and then they're placed into a cooler. You can see here, those eggs are nice and yellow. There's about 125,000 eggs per quart in that cooler, so we often refer to the number of quarts of eggs that we take in a day. So after an hour, they've absorbed water, they're sent to the hatchery. The hatchery on the top left there, we have an egg jar battery, how we call it. If you remember, the eggs at the time they were taken, they were nice and yellow. As they begin developing and they begin to eye up, they become darker, and in those egg jars, you're able to see those eyed up eggs, and then on the top of those are the eggs that did not get fertilized or died sometime in their development. Those eggs on top, they siphon off on a regular basis to help to keep the egg jars clean for the remaining walleyes that are in there. Top right picture there, you can see some newly hatched fry and some eyed eggs. In the hatchery jars, as they hatch, they go up to the top of the jar and they are in the spillover of the wall of the water. They end up in a catch basin then. And below there, you can see the walleyes in the catch basin. The walleye fry are about the size of a mosquito, very small. And they are the main product that we stock out, as you'll see in some of the summary statistics. A lot of the fry are stocked out directly into lakes. But we do, though, have some we keep at the hatcheries. In the top left there, we have a Ponsa Bed Blue Dock that we stock with fry. And top right there, we have some tanks inside the hatchery at Claghorn, those new recirculating aquaculture tanks that we're also stocking to raise walleyes up to a larger size. The lower left there, you have small walleye fingerlings after about 6 weeks in ponds, an inch to a 2 inch in size. And then the bottom right there, we have what's often called a larger fall fingerling. That's the size of the product if they're reared in ponds until late summer and stocked in the fall. So cold water hatcheries are a big part of our production and our stocking in the state. One thing with a trout in the hatcheries is the eggs are received from the federal hatchery system. We don't have to take the eggs ourselves. And a trout are raised to a catchable size. So at the time we put them out there, they're at a size that anglers are able to harvest. In the picture here, the smaller a trout on the right side would be one of our standard size that we stock at about 11 inches. And then there's also trout we stock at 15 inches. And in a couple lakes like a Pactola that have a high predator population, we stock a higher average size to attempt to avoid the predation on those fish. In the lower right there, we have our Chinook salmon. In the spring, we stock those out at about between 30 and 60 per pound. And then in the fall, we stock a smaller number at about 8 fish per pound. We certainly raise a lot of fish in our hatchery system, but we also rely on trapping fish from one water and then transferring them into another water as a part of our overall stocking strategy. And typically, these would be your adult or catchable size of fish. Species that we do this for include pike, perch, a white bass, a bluegill, a crappie, a catfish, and largemouth bass. And these are typically caught with those same nets that we use a walleye spawning, what we call a trap net along the shore. Or we have electrofishing boats as well that they use to go out and to collect the fish. If we're stocking into a lake that has winter killed and we're stocking adult fish, ideally we stock those before they spawn. And that way they're able to spawn in that new water and create a bunch of new recruits for it. For the community fisheries that we stock, having the fish be pre-spawn is not a concern at all. It's those fish are basically put there to be harvested rather than to contribute to an increase in the population. So walleye spawning statistics. The initial egg goal we had was 120 million eggs. This year, the egg take was a little bit late again because of the late winter. We spawned walleyes from the 23rd of April through May 5th. And with the late ice out on Lake Hawaii in the northeast lakes, those walleyes were ready to spawn right when the ice went off. That makes for a shorter spawning season, if you will, for us. But what's really nice is we have a lot of healthy walleye populations in the state right now. We were able to take eggs off of Oahu on the Grand River. East River, we took walleyes out of, or I should say, we took eggs out of Brush, West 81 in the southeast, Twin Lake in the southeast, and then Lynn and Middleton. And we took about 10 million eggs as a well that we made in the Sawguys, and they're a hybrid between a female, a walleye, and a male sauger. And we make those because there's some evidence that they perform better in some of our smaller lakes, especially ones with increased turbidity in them. So we have a couple waters we manage with those in place of walleyes. Overall, the egg take was 140 million eggs, again, showing the quality of fisheries we have in the state. Before I show you the slide that shows all the stockings through May. I wanted to share this slide with you. A lot of times we get calls about, have you stocked this lake? Have you stocked that lake? And the importance of if a lake was stocked for your fishing tomorrow really depends on the product that is stocked. As an example there, if we're stocking either fries or juveniles, those are considered to be good grow and take fish. So they're stocked at a smaller size. They have to be out there a while and grow. And if, after a time, they reach a harvestable size. An example there would be a walleye, where a walleye takes about 3 years to reach harvestable size. So if you call and you ask if we stocked a lake with walleye this spring, that has no bearing on if you're going to be able to go out there this year and catch a walleye to harvest. And terminology we often use, we'll speak about them as a fingerlings, as I did when I was talking about the products out of a Blue Dog and Claghorn, or generally they're called juveniles as well. Now, the adult fish, those are of a size you're able to harvest right away. And examples of those would be our stock trout and our fish and community fisheries. And with that in mind, here are the stockings that we accomplished by the end of May this year. Overall, we had over close to 170,000 adult fish that were stocked, almost 1 million juvenile fish. We stocked out 77 million fry, and there were 182 waters that received a stocking product. All the species here were stocked, the sizes they were stocked in, and the source are included. Those of Chinook salmon were all in Lake Oahe. Again, our spring stocking size, the gizzard shad also, majority of those were adults that were trapped and transferred and moved to Lake Oahe with hopes they would spawn up there to help with the food supply. The white bass are collected by electrofishing and they're used in the community fisheries. The yellow perch were used to help replenish waters after winter came, ideally before those fish had spawned, to help really kickstart those populations. And the other species on there, the northern pike are a community fishery species as well, and majority of the crappies and bluegill would be along those lines as well for those community fisheries. So a big change from the May Commission meeting to the report we had at the end of May for numbers out there that we stock. It's always a very busy month and staff work very hard to maintain those community fisheries, especially for the public. Our walleye stocking, we stocked the ponds with fry in May and also have some in Claghorn. The planned walleye stockings that we have there for, again, those some much smaller number of sawguys and the juvenile walleyes are shown. The walleyes, about 2.8 million of those are programmed for Lake Oahe, and anything that would be excess in the number that are raised, those will also be stocked in Lake Oahe to help increase abundance in the upper half of the reservoir there. So we know about the stocking that we do. We share some information on spawning. If you're an angler, how do you get this information and use it with other information to help you know where to go fishing and be successful? Well, we have a great website. If you go to the main GF&P webpage and you just click on the fish button at the top, it'll take you right to this page. And on this page, I've got three of the tabs highlighted in red. You've got your fish stockings for the last 14 days, your fishing areas, and then your fish surveys, reports, and maps. Those are the three places that really contain the information to help you with your fishing trips. To start with, we have that a tab. It's under fish and then the stockings within the last 14 days. This displays all the stockings. And the size of the fish, again, is very important. If you look over there for Gabor Lake, as an example, those sauger fry their stock this year, it'll be 3 years before they'll be of harvestable size. But if you look at the rainbow trout in Allen Dam as an example, they're adults, they were stocked, they're available right now to catch. And on this one, you'll see a mix of the fry stockings, the juveniles, and the adult stockings. Now, if you have an interest in a particular body of water, so it'd be under the fish, then the fish surveys, reports, and maps, and you click on the stocking report. Here's an example of a community fishery, a family park here in Sioux Falls. You can see here the sizes of the fish. They're all catchable size or adults. And these are the stockings that we made so far this year. And then you're able to go back and see the whole history of the stockings. This body of water have suffered a partial winter kill this year. So those stockings of the pike, the rainbow trout, and the white bass have been made to help that fishery continue to have a good catch rates for people to enjoy. If we look at a large lake, it's a bit different. A lot of the stockings in a large lake are going to be a smaller product. As an example here, we have a Wabay Lake, and you can see the fry stockings. If I was reviewing this, this would show me is that Wabay Lake is a lake we're managing for walleyes, and we're stocking it on a consistent basis. So those stockings we had a few years ago have probably resulted in a bunch of catchable walleye out there. So we know some about the stocking on the website. We also have a very nice fishing access map where we have all the shore locations to fish, the boat ramps. And in the wintertime, we maintain a list of ice fishing accesses that the department also maintains. Example of how to use this is, let's say you're in Watertown, you live there and you want to know about places to fish right in town. You're able to go there and zoom in on the map, and you can see there's some community fisheries and some fishing piers there. If you choose the one on the far right side of the screen there, that is the Redland Ponds that we help manage as a community fishery. And the bodies of water there on their property that are managed as fisheries are highlighted in a lighter blue. You're able to see the parking areas, the trails, and all that. If there was an outhouse or a bathroom facility or something, that would also be shown on this. And that is a big consideration, though, when you're thinking about taking children fishing. A bathroom facility is very important for helping you choose a location. Now, each of these bodies of water, if we look at Lake Thompson here, if you click on the lake itself, it will show you a drop-down that has the fishing report viewer. That's that place that we went and we looked at the stocking records specifically for Thompson. But it also has the fish population surveys on there as well. So if you want to see the sizes of the walleyes that they had in their survey last year, that's the place to go. There's also a link here to the fishing handbook and information on some of the species there. If we have a topographic map of the lake, that will also be under that fishery report viewer site. So just a number of tools there that you're able to use to put together to help you to plan your trip. And a last slide here, just a take home. We did have a number of waters that we had some winter kill in, and those have been restocked. If it's a body of water that had walleyes in it, it was probably stocked with walleye fry, and other waters were most likely stocked with adult perch or other fish that are catchable now, but they'll also be contributing to replenishing the overall population in the future. We have excellent established walleye fisheries right now that are firing on all cylinders. The fact that we're able to use the high number of waters to spawn out of is a prime example of that. Any of our established walleye fisheries, they should be very good this year. And our community fisheries, We did have some winter kill there, but the trout are back in there. They're standard every year, and we have the white bass, the pike, and some of those other species that were trapped and transferred to help keep things biting on the end of the line there for anglers in our communities. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to address any questions you may have.
Very good. Any questions? We have one. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, thank you, John. Great presentation on the sauger. What's your source of sauger?
On the sauger, we are very fortunate that in Lake Francis case, we have a number of sauger. They also have a tournament there, though, every April. And in the tournament, we partner with the tournament and we collect those. And then we have some tanks at American Creek Fishery Station right there by the water. And we hold those over, and then we ship the fish, or the melt itself at times will ship up to Blue Dog Hatchery, and they use it up there. So we really benefit from that partnership with the tournament on that one.
Other questions?
Commissioner Bees? Yeah, I'm Travis, or Commissioner Bees here. This little off this subject, just kind of a different topic. Up at Deerfield Lake last week, there was a company up there collecting suckers. Do they contract with the state to do that? And from what I heard, they use those, they spawn those and use them for minnows. Is that right?
Yes. What they do is we do issue commercial fishing contracts at times, and Deerfield is a lake that's loaded with white suckers. There have been times we've worked on reducing their abundance up there ourselves, but there's a private hatchery here in the Brookings area that hatches and raises white suckers. And if you go to other states, white suckers are very in demand for muskie fishing. So we enter into a small commercial fishing contract with that private company. They go up and they trap the suckers on Deerfield. They spawn them, and then they use that to help to raise the suckers that they need. And because they're not a game fish, there's no concern there about taking something that was a public resource and privatizing it.
Thanks. John, quick question. The tools that you showed us on the webpage, very good for anglers. How do they know about these tools? Are we marketing them? Is it in the fishing handbook?
That's a good question for Nick Harrington to help me answer. He's my my former friend on such things.
Good morning, Nick Harrington, Communications Manager. Yes, to take your question, Madam Chair, this is something that we really showcase these tools to the public quite a bit. And we're fortunate, we're kind of right in the heart of kicking off summer, that we had our free fishing on Mother's Day. We have our open house weekend, and then we have free fishing park entrance on Father's Day as well. And with these messages, we're really trying to recruit those new folks. The tools that John showcased, they're great for folks that, you know, don't know a lot about fishing or just simply don't know where to go. And so we try to showcase, hey, this is where you can see where fish are stocked. These are our maps. So in our emails, we'll include links to all the references that John did. We'll showcase them on our social media. They sit front and center on our website in the fisheries tab, and that gets a lot of good attention. I think between the stocking reports and the fishing access map, we have in the hundreds of thousands of clicks on that. So that is really, really a well-utilized tool, whether that's for new anglers or also those hardcore anglers that really pay attention to and want to know exactly what we're doing and where we're stocking those fish. Because, yeah, anglers from all skill levels and all knowledge bases, they want to use these tools, and how they take them and use them, it's entirely customizable, and that's what makes them really cool.
Excellent. Thank you, Nick. Commissioner Lockin.
Yeah, just a quick question, Commissioner Lockin here. The Missouri River reservoirs, are we seeing that water? Is it going to keep rising from here or keep going down through the summer? What are we expecting?
I believe that on Hawaii, what you'll see is they'll continue to be a rise for a while, but then we typically see a decrease at some point in July. It's been very nice that we've had that rise this spring. The inflows in May, I think, were 144% of normal for the precipitation runoff. And the snow melt is a is ahead of schedule. So it may be we peak a little earlier in the year for the high level, and then we begin to decrease from there.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Very good. Thank you. Good report. So this time we're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll come back at 11:10 and wrap up our final two items for this month's.